Answering Mormons Questions by Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson deals with 36 commonly asked questions by your LDS friends and neighbors. It's a great resource for Christians who want to share their faith with friends and loved ones. Be sure to pick up your copy today at your favorite Christian bookstore. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. On Monday, May 6, 2019, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints came out with another important announcement, this one nullifying a traditional one-year waiting period between the time a Mormon couple was married in a civil service and being sealed in a temple service. This announcement came out on their official newsroom website, which is found at mormonnewsroom.org, and it's titled New Policy Sets Single Global Standard.
It says the first presidency of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints announced Monday that a civil marriage between a man and a woman will no longer necessitate waiting a year for that couple to be married or sealed in a temple. The change means Latter-day Saint couples can look forward to a temple marriage as soon as their circumstances permit.
Now, we should interject here. What does that really mean? If you're not familiar with the concept of being sealed for time and eternity, this may not make a whole lot of sense. But Mormons do believe that if they are sealed together as a man and wife in a Mormon temple, they can hope to be sealed together as man and wife in the hereafter. Now, of course, that's all predicated on both of them living up to the high standards of true repentance and keeping all the commandments and their covenants and so forth. But that is the hope that they have by going through that type of a ceremony, that they will be together as a husband and wife in the next life.
The new policy sets a single global standard for Latter-day Saints around the world. The Church has observed this practice for many years in more than half of the countries where the worldwide faith resides. In those countries, couples are required by law to marry civilly first.
Now, we should talk about this because basically, this new change is going to affect mostly those members who live in the United States and Canada. Canada and the United States recognize a marriage ceremony in a Mormon temple as being legally binding, but there are a lot of countries throughout the world that do not. And so the Mormon Church always had a policy that a couple could go be married civilly in any one of these countries that had that kind of a standard. They would be married civilly or legally in the eyes of the state, and then they could immediately afterwards, if they so desired, go to a temple and be sealed for time and eternity. So really, it's only going to affect primarily people in the United States and, let's say, Canada. I don't know, Eric. It makes you wonder, what in the world took them so long to make this kind of a correction? Because you think, if it's not a problem in these other countries, why would you make it a problem here? Now, I can understand that the one-year waiting period would prevent, let's say, a young couple who, in, let's just take one case, where the bride is pregnant. Well, obviously, if you're planning on being married in a temple, before you start showing, you're going to need an interview with your ecclesiastical leaders, and you have to answer certain questions in order to qualify to go into a temple, because to get into a temple, you have to meet certain standards. Well, engaging in premarital sex would certainly disqualify you from going into the temple, so I can understand why they would have a one-year waiting period as a punitive measure, you might say, or at least a measure to make the couple think twice before engaging in premarital sex, because that question's going to come up. It wouldn't come up if you had a year waiting period. Let's say in a case where the bride was pregnant, they get married civilly, then they wait that required year, the question of premarital sex is obviously not going to be raised. They've been married for a year, so I can see why it would be put in place for that kind of a reason. I could see also the one-year waiting period being implemented to prevent someone from joining the church in order to marry a Latter-day Saint and meeting that requirement. Well, I want to be married in the temple, so if you want to marry me, you have to convert to Mormonism, and then we can go get married in the temple. And then what would that eventually lead to? Probably that person who converts for that reason becoming inactive not long after the ceremony has taken place. In other words, they went through the motions of being married in the temple, but it really wasn't in their heart. They were doing it in order to satisfy the spouse in order to get married in the first place. So I can understand a precaution like that. But the next paragraph, I think, gets into this area that I think is probably one of the main reasons as to why the church changed this.
It says, where possible, leaders should encourage couples to be both married and sealed in the temple, says a First Presidency letter to church leaders around the world. Where a licensed marriage is not permitted in the temple, or when a temple marriage would cause parents or immediate family members to feel excluded, a civil ceremony followed by a temple sealing is authorized.
The reason I think this is why this change came about is because we know from experience that there is still a lot of hurt feelings from those non-member family members who were not allowed to see the marriage of their daughter or see the marriage of their son because they converted to Mormonism and the parents did not. What that basically means is because those non-member parents are not qualified to darken the door, you might say, of a Mormon temple, they obviously wouldn't be allowed to witness this marriage ceremony that is combined in the temple as both a marriage and a sealing ceremony. They would have to wait in another room, but they would not be allowed in the same room where their children are being married. This causes a lot of hard feelings among non-member families. And you can understand, I would venture to say that probably many of those parents that were treated like that probably never come to a very good feeling about the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Why? Because folks, this looks cultish. Remember, the Mormon Church claims that it is a restoration of true Christianity. So my question would be, where in the world do you see anywhere in the Bible that there is anything such as a temple marriage ceremony? You won't find anything like that in the New Testament. That's not what the temple was for. So obviously, we don't see it being a restoration of anything. But this area right here, when it says when a temple marriage would cause parents or immediate family members to feel excluded, a civil ceremony followed by a temple sealing is authorized. See, this alleviates that problem. They can go to a Mormon chapel and they can be married in this civil ceremony. They would satisfy the non-members who would be in attendance there, and you would think there would probably be a lot there who may not be members of the church. But because they're there, that need has been satisfied. Let's say in the case of a parent of a Mormon child, they see the marriage, they're fine. Do they really care about the sealing part of it? Probably not. So it wouldn't bother them as much that they wouldn't be allowed to go see that aspect, which is very unique to the doctrine of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So you alleviate that problem. You alleviate that hate and discontent, if you will, on the part of those non-members. And you've seen cases like that.
Sure. In fact, the Salt Lake Tribune had an article on this issue. The article came out on the internet on May 6th and was published in the next day's newspaper. And it told a couple of stories, and I think they're interesting enough for us to finish out with these stories. One is Fiona Gibbons, and according to the article, she converted to Mormonism that fissured the foundations of my family. Shock and grief rumbled through the family when I announced that I was engaged to an American, said the British-born Gibbons, and unmitigated pain when I explained they were not permitted to attend the ceremony.
And we should mention that Fiona Givens is married to Terrell Givens, who's an accomplished Mormon author and a professor as well.
And she is as well. She was a co-author of The God Who Weeps. Mm-hmm. But it says that her mother was particularly devastated. Quote, "I was her only daughter, and she had spent years anticipating the festive occasion, having even picked out the church in which I was to be married. Overcome with grief, my parents visited the Mormon bishop, whose home was in the same neighborhood. He wrote to tell me of my parents' grief and warn me of the irreparable familial damage that would likely ensue." It's an interesting perspective she has.
Well, I think that word irreparable is important, because I'm sure there probably are a lot of parents out there that, because of being treated that way regarding the marriage of their child, are going to have a very hard time getting over that.
Yeah.
That is a huge issue for a parent, to be told that you can't experience the wedding of your child. That's got to have a huge negative effect, and it brings bad PR on the LDS church. And if you've heard me once, you've heard me 1,000 times say that I really feel that this church worships at the altar of public relations.
And I know that there were some who might have thought this is a wonderful thing they're doing for the people, but I do think you're right. I think the PR aspect of it is a very important part of why they did this, because there was a lot of criticism they were getting. And the last year, we've seen the church is doing what it can to alleviate the criticism it receives. But here's another story real quick, and this is from a woman. Her name is Gretchen Hofer Terry. She got married in 1981, and when she did, her Latter-day Saint stake president told her that she would offend God in my temple covenants if I were to even have a ring ceremony. That's how Terry explained to her mother why she would not be included in her wedding. Years later, when her mom died, the South Jordan woman found in her mom's wallet the letter she had written about it, quote, "She never forgot, and I have never forgotten that I did that to her," end quote. Mm. It was shameful.
But what can you do? That's what your church is telling you. Now, this individual that said it would offend God if she was to do that, where did he get that?
Right.
I mean, is that in the church handbook? There may be something on that. I don't recall anything like that being in a church handbook. There's certainly no doctrinal aspects found in unique Mormon scripture regarding this. Could this ecclesiastical leader just made it up to intimidate them or manipulate them into going through with a temple ceremony? I don't know. But you can see the effects of that decision and how that non-member parent was hurt for the rest of her life, and the shame on the part of the child for going along with that. But what do you do if you're a member of the church? What can you possibly do about it?
I hate to play the skeptic, but here's another possible reason why this decision was made, that many Latter-day Saints who would get married at a chapel and have to wait the year, maybe they weren't going back to get it sealed for eternity, but now they have no excuse. If they're going to go to the chapel, they can get married in front of their non-LDS friends and family members, of course. And that afternoon, after getting married in the morning, they could go and get it sealed right away. To get into the temple, you have to pay the tithe. And I think the church wants its temples busy. I think they want people going in and doing the work that they think is important. And so here's a way maybe to increase the sealing room attendance for a lot of Latter-day Saint couples.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.